You are called to be a light. You are called to transform this city. I know what they say about it, but I know what I have called Austin to be, and I know what I've called you to do and to be, to carry out what I want to do in this city. A big state to do big things from the capital city, and you are that. I don't care if there are churches in this city that are called mega churches. What I have anointed, I will bless and I will cause to be a light. I will cause to do extraordinary things. I will cause people to run to this house because my presence, my glory is in this house. I call you to stir up the word that the founder of the house spoken to you. You will fulfill because I gave him my word. You will do what you were called and created to do. See what was spoken and start to call it forth. Don't just sing about it. Call it forth and walk it out wherever you are every day. I'm ready. I'm ready to be your hand extended to a city that thinks it belongs to Satan. But I tell you, this is my city and you're my people. Call forth that which I have already decreed will be, and you will see it come forth.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for that word, Lord. We receive it, Father. Thank you. We are a light that shines in the darkness. Praise God. Well, tonight we are, I still have the handheld. I'm not used to teaching with the handheld, but praise God. Am I on? All right. Praise God. Well, today we are talking about winning in the midst of adversity. Winning in the midst of adversity. John chapter 16 in verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In Christ, we have peace." He says, in the world, there's tribulation. So he contrasts being in him, what's in him, and what's in the world. In him, there's peace. In the world, there is tribulation. Notice that there is not tribulation in him. Notice he doesn't say there are trials in me. He doesn't say there are tribulation, tests, temptations in me. He says they're there, but he says that they're not in me. What's in me is peace. You'll have enough tribulation out there. And that's why we always want to be careful not to blame God, not to blame Jesus for what's out there. We don't want to blame God for what the devil is doing, for what the world is doing. He says out there, there is trial. There is tribulation. But I am the place of peace in the midst of that. The Bible says we are in that where there is trial. He says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are of him. So while we are in him, we are also in the world. But while we are in him, we have peace. And so it's possible for the believer to have peace in the midst of the trial. It's possible for the believer to have peace in the midst of the storm. When the storm came on the sea, Jesus spoke to it. He didn't pray about it. He spoke to it and he said, peace, be still. Why? Because peace emanates from him. And so while the storm came, something greater overrode the storm. His peace. And so he says, take courage, for I have overcome that which you are in. He says, whatever you are up against, whatever you are dealing with, I have already overcome it. And so you can be glad about that. And now it's just a matter of you standing, you believing, you receiving, and you waiting for the manifestation of the thing that has already been done. He says, take courage. Well, Brian, why should I take courage? What I'm going through is horrible. I can't take courage in that. He doesn't say take courage in the trial. He says take courage because of what I've already done about the trial. Take courage because of what I've already done about the situation. You can rejoice, you can celebrate in the midst of the storm because God has already done something about it. God looked into your future. God looked into the future. And in the midst of that, he put a way of escape that's already there. So I can celebrate. I can rejoice, not about the problem. The problem is horrible. The situation is bad. I don't rejoice over that. I rejoice because of the one who was in the midst of the fiery furnace. I rejoice because of the one who I am in and who is in me, and we together are in the midst of this. And so I celebrate in him. I find my peace in him. I find my joy in him. I take courage in him. And so that's why it's so important to keep your eyes fixed on him, who is the what? Author and finisher of your faith. He instigates faith. And then he brings to pass the thing that faith is engaged in. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. So it's important that we keep our eyes fixed on him in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm. It is easy and tempting to get our eyes off of him and get it on to the circumstance and start meditating and thinking about how bad it is and rolling it over and over in your mind, rolling it over and over in your head. When we talk about keeping your eyes fixed on him, Ephesians says that, yes, there are physical eyes that we have, but there are the eyes of our understanding that are right here. That's where the focus needs to come from. The eyes of our understanding. Although we can't physically see him, we can see him. Because beyond physical eyes, we have the eyes of understanding. And we see things in our spirit that we don't yet see with our eyes. But because we see it here in the eyes of our understanding, we rejoice and we celebrate. And people look at us like we're crazy because they can only see with the natural eyes. They can only see what's surrounding us. So they say, why are you rejoicing? Why are you laughing? Why are you celebrating? Because I see something that you don't see. I see something in here and it's alive within me. There is a vision that God has put on the inside of me. There is a word that God has given me. There is a flow that God has shown me. There is a people that God has revealed to me. The eyes of my understanding, I can celebrate in the midst of the trial. I can celebrate in the midst of the storm. I can take courage in him because he said that in me you have peace. Because we are in him, we can rejoice. We can celebrate. We all go through things. We all deal with things. And so how do we go through trials and go through adversity in a godly manner, in a godly way, in a way that would please God? Well, first and foremost, we just said, learn to celebrate the victory in the midst of the storm. But it's also important to have the right perspective with what you're going through, with what you're dealing with, because sometimes things are not always what they seem. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, now I want you to know, brethren, that would be us, the church. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances. How many of you have circumstances? Circumstances surround you. You look around and there's a circumstance. And you look this way and there's a circumstance. He says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. My circumstances have turned out for something better and something greater than what they were by me just going through them. When you are going through, when you are in the midst of the trial, when you are in the midst of the circumstance, it's important to keep the right perspective. And sometimes, depending on what it is, you need to ask yourself, what is God doing in the midst of this? Because Paul says, this wasn't comfortable. This wasn't good. I did not like this, but what I was going through, what I've been going through, something good has come out of it. It in and of itself is bad, but what came out of it was good. He said, I want you to know that my circumstances have destroyed me. My circumstances have gotten the better of me. My circumstances, no, he says, the circumstances have turned into something else. Have turned out, something has come out of them. They have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Sometimes the situation you're in can turn out and will turn out for something you don't see right now with your natural eyes. You may not know why you're going through that right now, why you're dealing with that right now, but you may know a month from now, a year from now. You may not know why you met that person when you met them, but you did. And you didn't like them when you met them, but now you love them. Before, they were a circumstance. Now they done turned to something else. They're a blessing. It's like Paul said, I have need of, Mark. Thank you, Pastor Michelle. I have need of you now. Before, you were a thorn in my flesh. You were a circumstance, but God brought you into my life for a reason. I needed you. You sharpened me. I had some rough edges, and God knew exactly who it was going to take to rub them off. Sometimes what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with, don't be too quick to solely say, this just needs to go away. Sometimes, somebody say sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes the circumstances that are surrounding you, there is something that God is doing in the midst of it. And it's important to have that perspective. He says the circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment is a bad thing. So that my imprisonment in the natural, imprisonment is a bad thing. But when you got the fourth person in the fire, it's nothing but a thing. My imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, because of what I went through, somebody else was blessed by the testimony of what I went through and what God brought me into. Other people are being blessed. He says, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. He says, people, believers, are being encouraged because I'm going through this. I'm still in it, but I'm standing strong in the midst of it. That's emboldening other people. I'm not acquiescing to what people want me to do, to what the world wants me to do. And because I've taken my stand in what God has told me to do, what God has called me to do, I'm in this situation. But people see that, and it encourages them. Who knows but that what you're going through right now, what you're still going through right now, people are watching the grace that God is giving you to stand in the midst of it while the victory is manifesting, and they're encouraged not solely by you coming out of it, but how God is enabling you to stand in the midst of it while the victory is manifesting. Sometimes the victory manifests immediately, and we like that. I like that. But sometimes it takes time. It takes a while for a variety of reasons. And in the midst of that storm, when God's grace is enabling you to stand and holding you up, the storm is still there, but it might as well be as if it's not there, because in Him I have peace. Storm, you can rage, you can come, but because I'm in Him and He's in me and the eyes of my heart and understanding are fixed on Him, I have peace in the midst of the storm, and it doesn't matter. Come or go, like Paul said, I have learned in every situation whether I'm abasing or abounding, I've learned how to be content. I'm not content in my circumstances. I'm content in him in the midst of my circumstance. That's where my contentment comes from. And so he says the circumstances have turned out for good. God works in all things in the life of a believer to bring about his glorious purpose. All things work together for the good of them who love God and those who were called according to his purpose. We have to learn how to trust God even though we don't understand why this is happening, why this is going on, why this is materializing. We need to trust God in the midst of the circumstance. He says it turned out there was something going on here. If you're traveling down the road and your car breaks down on you in the middle of a trip, you pull over to the side of the road, we are quick to cast that down, speak to that problem, speak to that car, lay hands on that hood, lay hands on that battery, you will start. And we should. That's good. But occasionally, somebody say occasionally, not all the time, but listening here with the eyes of your spirit, you may want to get out of that car and just look around. Because God may have someone or something he wants to bring across your path. There may be someone else broken down in front of you who has a blessing for you that you don't know about. There may be someone across the street at a gas station that God is wanting to bless and minister to through you. Sometimes you have to pause in the midst of what you're going through, the midst of the circumstance, and ask yourself, God, do you have anything in the midst of this? Joseph soared and surfed on the waves of his adversity to get to the place that God ordained him to be. Sometimes, not every situation that looks bad is bad. When you look at it with the right perspective and the grand scheme of what God might be doing, could be doing, or is doing. So winning in the midst of adversity, knowing that we have peace in him in the midst of the storm, having the right perspective in the midst of the circumstance, what is God doing? 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall famine, shall death? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, those who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, In this, you greatly rejoice. I'm celebrating and rejoicing in what God is doing and what God has in store. But at the moment, I'm going through. I'm going through at the moment, but yet I'm celebrating for what God is bringing, for what God is doing, for what God has in store. Even though now, for a little while, and there's a curious phrase here, I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, if necessary. If necessary. It's not always necessary for you to go through something. So don't try. Well, so-and-so went through it. I got to go through it too. No, you don't have to stand for that. It's not necessary for you to go through that. But he says, for now, if necessary. The Bible said that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Why? Because it was there. He had a divine appointment. It was necessary. It was necessary for Joseph to go through what he went through. It was. It wasn't pleasant. He didn't like it, but it was necessary. Brian, why was it necessary? Was it necessary just so he could go through something? Just so he could suffer? Just so he could deal with something? No, it was necessary to get him to where God wanted him to be. Now, Jesus went through what he went through on the cross because it was necessary. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured. It was necessary for him to go through that. But not everything is necessary. Sickness and disease is not necessary. When you look at the life of Christ on the earth, you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the accounts, chapter, verse. We never see a time where Jesus was physically sick prior to the cross. Never. Never, ever, ever. We see him being persecuted by people. We see attempts being made on his life, but we never see him sick in his life. We never see him broke. We never see him financially broke. He always had enough to do, listen, what God had called him to do, not what he wanted to do. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was never financially broke. When he needed to pay his taxes, the money was there. When he needed an upper room furnished and ready, it was there. All he had to do is to arrive at that point within the calling to where that provision gets placed in now. Following after God. Following after what God had called him to. But the key was being submitted to God's will, plan, and purpose for his life. Him following after the path that God had set. He was never broke. He was never sick. But he was persecuted by people. So when we talk about something being necessary, we're not necessarily talking about it's necessary for you to be sick or broke. But it may be necessary for you to go through some circumstances and deal with some things and some challenges. At the simplest level, you may be in traffic for a reason. You may have gotten held up for a reason. Taking a step, looking around. Lord, what do you have in this, if anything? What are you doing? And if not, continue to move on, celebrate the victory, and celebrate getting out of that circumstance. But every now and then you need to listen here to see if God is saying or doing something in the midst of this circumstance so it can turn out for what God had intended. Winning in the midst of adversity. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Nope, that's the wrong verse. Well, we will skip that. First Peter. Nope. Not that one. But we don't need a verse. Sometimes it's helpful to know that other believers are going through or have gone through the same thing you're going through. 5:9. Obtaining as the outcome? Oh, thank you. I'm at 1:5. Thank you, Brother Rob. 1 Peter, here we go. Starting at verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Sometimes it just helps to know that someone else has gone through what you're going through. And they went through. That you're not the only one dealing with this or going through this. That's one way that you can help keep the right perspective. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised. I can't believe I'm going through this. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange were happening to you. This is strange. I've never been through this. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. I don't know why people are coming at me, but keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. It's not surprising to, it shouldn't be surprising to go through something. There will be times of testing, but we should always rejoice in the midst of it, not because of the trial, but because of God's will, plan, and purpose in the midst of it. No matter what comes, there's always somewhere that God is taking us. And so I have to trust God's plan for my life, despite what things look like. I have to trust that God can get me. He will get me where he showed me in my spirit, where he is taking me, where he is taking us. God's plan, God's will be done. I'm just submitting to the flow and going where he tells me to go. Sometimes we measure circumstances, what happened and what didn't happen, what worked out and what didn't, against our plan for our life. Measuring circumstances against our plan for our life versus God's plan for our life. And because circumstances didn't work out for our plan for our life, we're discouraged. We're distraught. But sometimes trouble causes you to reevaluate whose plan you're really on. My plan or his plan? Because if I'm on his plan, circumstances will line up. Whether it's tomorrow or next year, circumstances will line up so that his plan can be fulfilled in my life. But if I'm discouraged because the circumstances for my plan are not what I want them to be, I need to reevaluate whose plan I'm on. So having the right perspective. The next thing, thanksgiving. Being able to give thanks in the midst of the storm. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He said, when you're in prayer and supplication, make sure that you're bringing thanksgiving to the equation, to the prayer, thanking God for what he has done. Some people say, how can you pray for an hour? Well, you can spend the first 15 minutes just thanking God. Father, I thank you for your will in my life. I thank you for relationship, fellowship, communion with you. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for my spouse. I thank you for my family. I thank you for all the things you blessed me with. I thank you for my pastors. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your wisdom, your joy. I thank you for your glorious salvation. I thank you for your righteousness that you've given me. I thank you for your grace, your strength, your mercy in my life. Lord, I thank you that you keep me, you protect me, you order my steps, you direct my path, you establish my ways. You are at work in me both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Father, I thank you for all these things that you have blessed me with. Thanksgiving. Even though when you started thanking God, there was a circumstance raging. There was a storm raging. But he says, let there be thanksgiving as you pray. Thanking God for the good that's there and not just focusing on the bad that's there. Being thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 16, it says, rejoice always. When? Always. Not just when things look good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything. It doesn't say for everything. In everything, give thanks. I'm not thankful for this situation that has come against my life. I'm not thankful for this thorn in my flesh. But in the midst of it, I'm thankful to him for all that he's done and the grace and the mercy and the goodness he's brought into my life. And just because things aren't perfect doesn't mean I'm going to forego the things that are good in my life and focus on them while he works on the other things, while the other things work out. Thanksgiving helps prevent you from becoming bitter, because it allows you to focus on what's good and not what's bad. Whoever got bitter by focusing on the good things in their life? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you are focusing on the good things in your life, it's going to be challenging to become bitter. Well, Brian, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. Don't focus on that. Focus on him. Focus on his goodness. Focus on the things that are good in your life, the things that you are thankful for. Well, Brian, I'm having a problem coming up with anything. No, there is always something that you can thank God for, that you can give praise to God for. And the believer whose praise can't be tamed, they can't be controlled by circumstances. Lord, I will thank you. I will celebrate. My flesh may not feel like it. The circumstances may not be ideal for a praise session, for a Thanksgiving session, but we're going to have one anyway. It's raining outside. We're going to have church anyway. Because in him, there is peace. We want to focus on the good and thanksgiving and not the bad. Complaining focuses on the bad. This isn't right. This isn't good. I don't like this. That's complaining. Complaining focuses on the bad. Thanksgiving says, this is good. This is right. I'm focusing on the good. And while I'm celebrating his goodness in my life, his salvation, his glory, my eternal life, being living forever with him, while I'm celebrating that, I'm trusting him to work out everything else, to work out every situation, every crooked place, every high mountain that needs to be laid low. I'm trusting him to work that out. And I'm just going to celebrate, thank God, rejoice in the God of my salvation. The next thing, winning in the midst of adversity. Be a blessing in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial. See how you can be a blessing to someone else's life while you're going through what you're going through. Give someone else a hug. Well, Brian, I need a hug. Give someone else a word of encouragement. Give someone else a financial blessing. Well, Brian, I need money. We can become so inward focused when we are going through things. But find a way you can be a blessing to someone else while you're going through. How you can reach out, how you can give a hug, how you can give a handshake. I want somebody to hug me. I need a word of encouragement. I need a financial blessing. You want me to give? I don't hardly have anything to give myself. But you are blessed to be a blessing. And when you can focus on someone else's blessing, when you can focus on someone else's life, when you can look out for someone else's interest and not just your own interest, there is a blessing in that. There is a peace in that. There is a joy in being able to do that, that although I'm going through and nobody even knows, no one cares. No one knows. Look, God knows. God always knows. And you have an audience of one. Forget everybody else. You have an audience of one watching. So God knows. You trust God to take care of you, and you focus on loving other people, being as much of a blessing as you can. I don't have $10, but I got five. I don't have five, but I got one. I don't have one, but I got 10 cents. I don't have 10 cents, but I got a penny. If you don't have a penny, see me, I get you a penny. You can use that as a seed to get to a dime, to get to a dollar, to get to five, to get to 10, to get to 100, to get to 1,000, get to a million. Keep going? Yeah. How can I be a blessing while I'm going through what someone else is going, while I'm going through what I'm going through? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Now, brethren, there's that word again, brethren. That would be us, the church. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Look at this. How can I be a blessing while I'm going through what I'm going through? That in a great ordeal of affliction, in the midst of great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, not just I'm in between checks right now, I gotta wait on my check. No, their deep, deep poverty. They had deep poverty. The deep poverty turned, they allowed the poverty to turn into overflow in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, beyond their financial ability, they were poor. They were dealing with, they didn't have financial resources. They were dealing with deep poverty, but yet they were going through their deep poverty that beyond their ability they gave of their own accord. They didn't have to be convinced. They didn't have to be worked over. Their arm didn't have to be twisted. Beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us, please let me be a blessing. Please let me find someone to encourage. Please let me find someone to give this to. Please let me find someone else to pray for. They begged to be a blessing. They begged us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first said, God, what do you want us to do? We don't have much. We can't give much in the natural. But Lord, if you tell us to give it, we're going to do everything we can to give it. It says that they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. Whenever you give, whether you give money, time, blessing, a word, whatever, first listen here and see what God wants you to do. First give yourself to the Lord. First listen in your spirit. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? First give yourself to the Lord and then give yourself to others. Because if you don't give yourself to the Lord, you have nothing to give, nothing of worth to give anyone else. No one wants the word you made up. No one wants the vision you had after you ate that pot of chili. They want what you got after you gave yourself to the Lord. And then to us. So it says, they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. So they were receiving an offering for the churches in Jerusalem. Paul and his ministry team were going around to the Greek churches and receiving an offering. They got to the Macedonian churches who didn't have much to give and said, we got something from that church that we didn't expect. Number one, by the grace of God, they were able to do it. How do you stand? How do you win in the midst of adversity? How do you be a blessing in the midst of what you're going through by the grace of God? Paul said, I talked to the Lord about this thing. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And my power and grace is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, though you're going through this, my grace is keeping you. My grace is enabling you. Paul said, it's there to keep me from being exalted. But God said, my grace will keep you in the midst of it. And God's grace is powerful. God's grace is good. And so as you deal with adversity, as you deal with challenges, know that God's grace will help you stand, will cause you to stand, will cause you to celebrate, rejoice. Even though this thorn has come against you, whatever the thorn is, God's grace keeping you in the midst of the storm Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your heart focused on him. Learn to appreciate and celebrate and be thankful for the good things that are in your life while God is squaring away the rest. Things may not be perfect right now. Things may not be all that they should be. But there's something we can be thankful for. We may not have 500, but we got 50. And we're going to fellowship and celebrate and rejoice and learn and grow and develop together with that 50 and allow God to bring the increase. While we focus on what he's called us to do, we let him bring the increase, turn things around, make things like they should be, and we rest in his peace. We rest in him. We celebrate him. And we trust him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pastor Richard.
Okay, then. Stand up. Let's do some hooping and hollering and praising and celebrating. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for peace that we find in our Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you continually are pouring out on us, that you are continually leading us in and guiding us in. We thank you, Father, for your great love. We thank you that we are not alone. You are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In every circumstance and in every situation, we are victorious because you have already won and we are in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your grace, in your mighty strength that you continually lift us up, Father. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for your great provision that there is more than enough in every household, in every member, in every individual in this body, Father God, that you have called. I decree more than enough. There is no lack, there's no shortage, there's no need because of your great provision. You are our provider, you are Jehovah Jireh, and we have more than enough. Every account full, every fund is overflowing, and I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you have done it and you continue as we rejoice in you. Father, I thank you and rejoice that there is no sick one among us. I thank you, Father God, that we are healed by the stripes of our Redeemer. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in divine health and divine strength and divine life. Thank you, Father, that you cause our lives to be filled with good things, that you cause your resurrection power of your Holy Spirit to quicken our mortal bodies, making us alive unto good works and unto what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father, that our bodies are strengthened as we walk before you, Father God, that we run and we're not weary and we walk and we don't faint because you are our strength, you are our joy, you are our peace. In you we live and move and have our being. We experience your divine power and presence in our bodies. And I thank you, Father, there is not a sick one among us. There is no infection. There is no infirmity that can overtake your people. And I thank you, Father God, that we are well, healed, whole, and strong in every part of our lives. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed Lord. Blessed Lord. And Father, I thank you that you lead us and guide us into your truth, into your victory, and into your celebration, Father God, because you have overcome and we stay in you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. God is good. His mercy endures forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. I know it's a nasty night, but it's good in here. It's good in here because the presence of God is here and the family has joined together. And that's always a good time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, let me bless you. I say that you are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. I say that no weapon formed against you prospers, but every tongue that would rise against you in judgment or in a soulish prayer or a condemnation or even a bad opinion is cursed and cast down, and it has no effect in your life. That you are all taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, and that you are surrounded with divine favor of the Most High God, that he goes before you and behind you and on both sides with his favor, and he makes ways, he opens doors, and he causes opportunities for you to be blessed. You are the blessing of the Lord. You are the light shining in the darkness. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a chosen generation. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you make your way prosperous because you meditate on the Word of God continually, and it does not depart out of your mouth. You are blessed to be a blessing. And in everything, you give thanks and you celebrate God. Amen. Amen. You are blessed. Well, we're going to have praise team rehearsal tomorrow night for all of those praise team members. If you want to be a praise team member and you're not, come on down. Sunday morning, we're going to be right here. We're going to have church. Amen? Amen. Don't forget, we've got this bucket right up here to bless Brother Brian. He blessed us real good tonight so we can be a blessing back to him. Amen? Amen. Well, all hearts are clear. You're dismissed. Stay dry, stay warm, stay upright.